and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast, episode 407. I'm your host, Adam Cook, and it's gonna get sweaty, Adam Carroll.
Yes, it will, and I'm delighted I'm wearing a flannel shirt. It might come off later on, but we'll see.
Oh. I mean, it's obviously a two-pronged thing because this is both an audio podcast and a video podcast, but like, it is interesting to me that like you are wearing two layers, Adam.
I know. Do you know what? I just hate just wearing... I don't like wearing just a t-shirt.
Okay, yeah.
Gonna put that out there right now.
No, that's fair enough. You may have just seen his face appear on your screen. Back from the wilderness is Gary Bailey.
I do look like I've come from the wilderness, don't I?
A little bit.
Just come back, just grizzly bear.
Like, someone mentioned the Star Wars thing, and it's the more I see you, the more I'm thinking about it. No, not Chewbacca. No. Chris Hyde, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, it's like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
I missed it. I should have just like, hello there.
I can't remember enough about those films. No, actually, I can. Now you've done that, I can actually remember that. Just, you know, for those who are watching this week, probably need to apologise because at some point someone's going to go like that and it's just going to be like a pool, and I'm lifting my arm up for the audience, it's going to be a pool of sweat under someone's... like, Chris Hyde, your shirt looks quite thick.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wearing quite a flimsy one. Like, before the podcast, these buttons were down to here.
But it is a little bit thick, but to wear a shirt for work, so I'm like, ugh. Keep professionalism going for the podcast, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's just get into some games then, because there's quite a lot to talk about, and we've got loads of listener correspondence, and I'm in no way trying to rush the podcast listeners to get us out of our respective saunas that we are all in. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? Like, you know, like an endurance-run podcast. But yeah, it's going to get sweaty. Adam Carroll, have you been playing anything you would consider sweaty in any way, shape, or form?
Well, nothing sweaty.
A real shame.
But I will. Before I go into the game that I have been playing the most... I have been playing more Ghosts that I quickly just want to mention. Ghost of Tsushima, that is. And that game, like last week, I had bits and pieces to say, but like this week, it's opened up a bit more for me, and I'm enjoying it more now.
Are you into the story anymore? Because that's reason I'm not gone back to it is that the story, I'm not feeling it, man.
I'm hearing so many different things of what people like don't like in terms of like, I've heard people saying the combat's repetitive. I actually think now that I've gotten over the lock-on thing being just not there, I'm starting to enjoy the combat. I'm excited going into battles, and I'm enjoying the skills I'm unlocking, the combos and stuff, and getting it all done. Do you know what? It's doing that open world thing that it just takes a bit of time. You have your opening, then you have your kind of like kind of dull part of the game early on, and then eventually it just clicks and you start seeing all the bits and bobs that it has to offer. Yeah. Which Ghost does. I think it opens up in the first hour, as I said last week, pretty strong in my opinion, enjoyable anyway, and then it just gets a bit kind of like, it just puts itself on the brake and you're like, oh, okay, talk to everyone and you tell me everything over and over again. But no, story-wise, look, it's fine. It's fine. If someone enjoys it, then fantastic.
Would you not, and this isn't like me having a go at the game, because I genuinely, every time I have played it, sat down and played it, I really enjoyed my session with it, but the story feels like the weakest part of that game, and that makes no sense.
I don't know. It's a hard old theme to... I suppose I don't really think it is, maybe. Look, it's just the story isn't really hitting me massively. It's perfectly fine. The main thing that it starts off with, story-wise, regarding saving a person, I thought that was going to be the whole thing in general.
Oh, is it not?
Not really. No.
Okay.
No, it's not. And, I have got to Act 2 now and stuff. And,
yeah.
Like... I've gotten some new equipment, nothing that's like original as such, but it makes the flow of the game that little bit more enjoyable. But yeah, like, there's a lot of stuff going on in that game that maybe it doesn't need, like the skill things. I think I said this last week, but the skill stuff and the upgrades, like you can upgrade fucking, I'm surprised you can't upgrade your shoelaces. It's insane. Like, you're just, there's so much to like just look after. But look, that's just little bits and pieces. I still think the world is cool. It's not really, it's still, from what I've played, it's not like bursting with so much like things to do. Like, I'm still just following the casual fox and the bird, and I come across a group of lads and I do the fighting showdown thing.
Do they ever say?
Standoff. I keep saying showdown.
Yeah, so, well, no, it is a showdown, isn't it?
Is it? I thought it was standoff.
It is a standoff.
Standoff, yeah.
So
yeah.
Do they, you know, because you mentioned about following the bird there, like the little mm-hmm. golden bird that takes you to secrets. Do they ever tell you that?
Or did I don't know.
I feel like I knew that from the marketing and like the... I don't remember ever being told, by the way. It's kind of... I suppose it's obvious, but...
Yeah. I really don't know. I will say as well that like I've unlocked like 3 out of 4 stances.
Yeah.
The stances could be done better.
Do you find yourself wishing it was like... So the game as it is, but take those stances and swap it for like a Devil May Cry combo system.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I appreciate what they're trying to do, and I can 100%. See, but like, it's just...
Nioh 2, for example, does stances better.
Yeah.
Which isn't to say Ghost is bad, as I nearly pulled my headphone cable out. I just wonder, it's sort of neither one nor the other, is it?
Yeah, see, that's the thing, and like, when you start getting into a battle, I'm like, or any sort of fight, I just kind of just want to just start hacking and slashing around the place. And yes, you can do that, but if you get like a guy with a shield, you go to the stance that has a shield and you press triangle and you kind of just repeat that formula within all the enemies, do you know? And
it's kind of like, easy, don't you think?
In ways, yes.
I like that. I feel like I want this to be kind of a combat power fantasy in that respect. I dig that part.
Yeah,
I like
don't want...
every combat scenario. I feel kind of a badass.
Mm. Oh, definitely. Like, I don't want a Sekiro again. Like, right now, do you know? Like, we don't need that.
With like all the games just turning into like it has to be super hard. It's like let me have fun for a while.
Although it has made me sort of go, I maybe want to because that game beat me. Sekiro. I'm man enough
to
say
go back
it's kind of like because it beat me. It is, I think, very much known as the boss that breaks a lot of people up in the kind of high up in the house. The I want to say his name begins with G.
Genichiro.
Genichiro, I think so. Yeah. And it broke me. And
that's where I failed as well.
to me, right, and this is going off massively, but I think that's a design flaw. Oh, there's 3 of us. I don't know, Gaz, if you ever played it.
No, I'd seen and heard enough of Sekiro. It's just like, I don't want this right now.
I definitely want to go back to it. I'm kind of just in that buzz now because of Ghost. But, like, look, Ghost's still enjoying it, still playing
it. Will you finish Ghost?
Yeah, absolutely.
You definitely will.
I've definitely decided that I'm going to platinum it as well.
Because, I have to say, big fan of Sony making a lot of their first-party games... kind of not easy, but
no,
like you don't have to play
so
through them multiple times.
It's kind of that thing where it becomes like you just get the flow of the game after like a good few hours and you go, I'm just up for 2 hours of this a night now, chip away, enjoy.
The thing I noticed about Ghost, I didn't unlock any of them, but some of the, you know, the wind thing, which I still think I prefer waypoints. I get it, the aesthetic, I get it, but I like it's quite a gamey game, so it's kind of weird to just like say, oh no, but we're not doing waypoints. But it's like, yeah, but you're like, you can, like you say, you can upgrade your shoelaces. You can't, but you could.
Yeah, but like it's just a lot.
You should be able to. But like, I don't know. I you can literally unlock things that let you follow specific collectibles in that game, can't you? And it is very much a lot of the first party games do this now, where you just you finish it, and that's really all that's required of you. You don't have to play through on ultra difficulty, and you could just like go and like even God of War. Like you actually could, and I think I did that last Valkyrie on easy because it's bloody hard.
And
I really appreciate that they let you, because it's some people really like to get all the trophies and achievements. And
I'm definitely in with Ghost. It's just very funny every time I play it though, and I'm like going through the world, like I'm doing this Mythic Tale, or I'm doing this side quest, or I'm doing this main quest, and you'll go along and I feel like I have to nearly do this because I'm like, don't distract me,
for the listener, that Adam has just justified the video version. He didn't do it, no, he realised he did it the first time. The second time he was riding a horse, but the first time he did it sort of without noticing, just went like that off just quietly, and he's just justified the whole video, the months of video podcast.
Yeah,
just the
little... it's like something out of Monty Python. It was brilliant.
It was really. He just needed someone with coconuts. Yeah, like. Yeah. No, it's very much. See, that reminds me of Red Dead 2.
Yeah,
like just wandering the world. It's like, oh, there's a something thing there. Or a person,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
Did also question. It's because Gary, you and Chris haven't played it yet, have you?
I've played an hour of Ghost of Tsushima. That's it so far.
Question for you, Ad, because you are seemingly further than me now. Are you still in Act 1 or 2 out of interest?
I'm in 2 now.
Okay, so surely you can answer this. Do they ever tell you that you can hunt? Because I just killed an animal that was attacking me and I got like a rare whatever pelt it is, and you can use that to upgrade. And it's like, oh, hunting's a thing then.
Yeah, like I don't think it, like, look, we could be wrong here in saying this, but I definitely don't remember that either. I actually kind of got surprised when I was just going through the world, and next week this like paw comes up and it just starts like the level rises, like, and you're like, what? And then this is just a bear or like a wolf of some sort, and like the wildlife in the game is actually like really intense, like they can kill you very quickly, so you kind of have to like be on it with them. But yeah, I don't know, there's things like that the game just throws at you. I feel it's kind of unusual that they won't tell you that, but they tell you like so many other things as well, like, you know, it's, but look, it's enjoyable, it's doing kind of what I wanted from the game, and yeah, getting through it. But I also have been playing Paper Mario and the Origami King. Why aren't people going mad about this? Because I think this game is amazing.
It's probably because people are just like, it's not Thousand Year Door.
I was going to say, do you want a genuine answer? Because that's it. What Gary's just said is it. People are kind of, and I know I will never really comment on other people's reviews, and I didn't read many of them. But one thing I picked up on from like our YouTube comments and stuff on Twitter was that people were appreciating, and this isn't me going, look, I'm such a amazing critic, look at me. But people seem to appreciate that I kind of reviewed this game for what it was and not what it isn't. And I think it's certainly an interesting discussion, but like this game, and it's not like they came out and went, oh, lads, well, this Paper Mario game you'd never heard of is a spiritual successor to the Thousand Year. They never ever said that.
No.
And to be honest with you, if you have been keeping up and playing the Paper Mario series, I don't know why you would have expected anything like an RPG.
Like, so far from what I've played, and I'm taking it pretty slow because I'll explain why, but this is on par with like a Thousand Year Door for me. This is like the next best Paper Mario game I have played, like, already. I think, like, there's too much criticism, and it's, look, for a certain degree it's valid, but there's a lot of criticism like with the combat, and I think people just who hate the combat or dislike it or find it challenging or find it this and that just seem to go, it's everything is just crap out the game.
So how far in are you? Are you in the first streamer world, like color streamer?
Second.
So you've got to the point where you can like buy charms.
Yeah.
So don't you think that they know, the developers, Intelligent Systems, know that some people won't fully appreciate those systems, and that's why you can buy a charm that extends the timer or give you more? I get that that could be seen as it's sort of, part of me thinks it's a bad thing.
Mm.
Because it's like, you know, this system isn't quite there, but you know, I don't know.
Do you know what's kind of blown my mind really though surrounding this game is the, if we're just going to go into combat for a second, there is that the system that's like set up. I find it amazing that they've gone for this kind of system for this style of game, because like any kid that sees this game would probably want it if they have a Switch or something. And I think like the actual combat stuff, it's kind of confusing at times. Like it takes a bit like of getting to know what's going on, what you can do. Like the lining up and stuff isn't easy, and it gets quite difficult sometimes, and sometimes they're just a breeze. But like the lining up and the changing around the stuff it's going to be difficult for certain kids, I feel. And on top of that, then to have the timer just going down, like, and you're like, oh, you gotta do this quickly. Like, it's a weird one for Nintendo to create for what I personally will say that I think Origami King is, on handheld anyway, the best looking Switch game I've ever played. Like,
it's got the best looking water.
This game looks ridiculous. Like, I think this game looks so good. It is so charming. It is like, look, Mario games do this anyway in general, but this is so funny. Like, even in its visual department, never mind the dialogue, which is just gold for the most part. Like, even at an early stage, you obviously played it. Chris, are you on this?
I have it. I need to start it. Okay. And I will be playing it, but I haven't started it yet.
Cool. And Gez?
No, I haven't got it.
All right. Okay.
Is it your cup? Are you into it? Like, maybe. Will you, Gez?
It's one of those things that I might get further down the line.
Because it is long.
Yeah,
surprisingly long.
It feels crazy long, along with the fact that, like, the toads that are everywhere, which I actually really enjoy, and it's really kind of amazing there's, like, a little bit of dialogue for each one of them.
By the way, that never stops till the end of the game.
So much joy out of seeing Mario throw the confetti, like it's just the way he kind of just goes and it's just like this really
you can hold
it you can, and you kind of build
by the way again, I don't remember it says if it tells you that, but you can hold it, he's sort of
it's joy. That's hilarious. But there's like one, like, as you'll notice, remember at the start when you're going up the tower with Bowser,
right at the start.
And do you know the way he is and stuff? I know I'm being vague now because the lads haven't played, and probably listeners haven't played it either, but there's just a lot of dialogue where he's like, I'm using my face. Like, slow down. Like, and it's just that kind of humor within this Mario, and the Mario game in general, I've never seen. Like, and it's just so well written. I think each environment that I walk into just blows my mind. Because
and it will continue to do that right till the very last minute.
When you go to that certain town early in the game as well, and the music as well, I know you're talking about it, like this.
The music is genuinely probably one of the best soundtracks of the year.
It's crazy good.
There was one boss battle, I can't remember which one it was, where they properly have slap bass, and it was like, Jesus, this is... They didn't need to bother.
Yeah.
And they did. But so you're in the second world. Mm-hmm. Are you...
I just exploring got there last
that,
night.
The should we just say the amusement park?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. But the thing, like, there's so much love again. Not that there hasn't been a Paper Mario like this for quite some time, and I feel there's so many hidden little secrets and hidden touches and nods to other previous Nintendo franchises and things like that. That you're just like, this is great. And like, considering that this wasn't even expected to come out at all. This was just a surprise announcement, and I feel like has that kind of stinted it a small bit? Like,
it might have.
Did people just go, oh, Paper Mario, okay, cool, no, it's all right.
Well, Ghost of Tsushima did.
Yeah, Ghost is like, the thing for me.
Surprising, because you would not think. It's not The Last of Us, it's not God of War, it's not Horizon, it's a new IP up against a Nintendo exclusive, but I do think that. And I don't want to get too down in the weeds, but the times we're living through, people don't have as much money as they maybe once had. And whereas before people would have gone, yeah, I'll get both. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many people have gone, I'm not being funny. Everything you hear from people like us on podcasts and in reviews and write-ups is that Ghost of Tsushima is the kind of perfect game to switch off and just not think. Like, people have heard multiple people call it a podcast game. That there may be someone listening to us speak right now while they're playing Ghost of Tsushima, which may... admittedly fuck up their heads a little bit, because that would be weird to so you if you're playing Ghost of Tsushima while listening to this right now press the square button and then jump a bit, and then we're properly Inception. But I wonder if people just really want that kind of, do you remember when Resident Evil 3 remake, which feels like a decade ago,
so long ago,
and I said I really could not play it at that point because it was too close, it was too much. Maybe the opposite of that.
I think it's the opposite of Animal Crossing and Doom Eternal on the same day. It's like the reverse of that, because Animal Crossing is the game you play on a podcast in the background and all that sort of stuff. So I think it's that again, but it's just the reverse for Nintendo this time around. So
I think Paper Mario is the better game. I forget It is one of those things where I'm coming to the point where I can't remember if I've said this on a podcast or just to you, Chris, or to all of you, but the thing that most impressed me about Paper Mario is that like it is a very long game, and yet they create ideas for, like, so the level, if you will, that Adam's on, that idea, the amusement park thing, that's really creative and new, but they do more like that, like they create these entire new things that they never use again. And that is insane. Like, nowadays, if you're playing a game that is like a big open world and they give you a new mechanic, let's say you get a vehicle, for example, that will be like that for the rest of the game. Like, I'm thinking like of Horizon. So, for example, once you unlock the ability to, what is it? You can turn the robots into your friends and you can then actually ride one of them. Then that is a mechanic you can use for the rest of the game because that's cost-effective game development. Whereas Paper Mario does not care about how much time it takes. They create these new ideas repeatedly that you see and you're like, oh, that is so cool, and then you get to the next world, just gone. And that not in a bad way, in a way of, no, you did that was fun, and you can go back there and do that if you want, but we're in a new area and we want to give you more new ideas. And I think Adam, from the boss battles, that's the first thing I would say, that creativity, you're starting to see that in the boss battles, I would think.
Yeah,
pencils or colouring pencils, for example. Like, how do you not smile through that? The whole thing.
Well, I think going into it in general, I was kind of going, I'm going to probably really like this game, and it just completely surprised me as I was playing. I was like, holy shit, I'm really liking this game, and like the combat itself, right? Okay, like, I understand when people are saying, oh, they don't have the XP situation, or it gets repetitive and it's just tons of coins and stuff. But I don't know. I'm kind of like, I'm fine with it. I'm like,
as you get further in that, the battle stuff, definitely.
I'm sure.
I'd be amazed if someone said, no, I never got weary of any of the battles ever. Yeah. That would genuinely be like, well, okay, but, you know.
Considering you know you're not getting, you're not building your character, you will tend to just probably just avoid Goombas or whatever like that, you know, just try and scale around them and drive on. But like, I don't know, there's something about, like, you feel like you will miss a secret, because Jesus Christ, I was, like, in one area, I was, like, one small patch, I was just with the hammer and I was slapping things all around the place, and I found, like, 6 toads in this one particular area. And, like, the dialogue is so good, and then they say funny things, and you're like, oh, could totally have missed this because there's so much in this game.
Oh no, have you done it yet? I'm just trying to think. If I said to you, Bobby.
No, but I've unfortunately.
You probably had that spoiled.
I did.
It is one of those where there's not many moments like that. Well, obviously.
Olivia's amazing, by the way.
Olivia's the star of the game.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I mean, she has to be. Mario doesn't speak. It's weird because, like, you've met his, obviously you know his brother's Luigi, but you've met Luigi, he's in early in the game. Everyone speaks but Mario.
Yeah.
And I kept feeling like there'll be something. They never, he just doesn't speak. The toads speak. In fact, like I said, Bob-omb speaks, like everyone speaks, but Mario is mute.
Yeah. It's like Half-Life.
Yeah,
you know, people speak directly to Gordon, and he stares at them blankly.
No, that's a fair comment. Yeah,
yeah.
Which they fix, by the way, in Half-Life Alex, which VR,
really?
And yet she speaks. She speaks.
And that makes sense. She always spoke.
But also, you're her. So you know, you think you're moving around, and then you're speaking, and it's coming from. But it actually works. But yeah, it was interesting that I think they've had criticism over the years. Like you say, Gordon's spoken to directly. You know, I don't know. I just find it weird that Mario just. And again, I feel like people talk.
Because
he does speak.
You know, in that, like, he makes noises. He does say, it's me, I'm Mario, etc.
Do you remember on the podcast a long time ago, we had this similar discussion where I asked the question, is Mario actually, like, a bit of a simpleton? Because. All he's ever said in games is like, yeah, haha, it's a me, Mario.
Well, all he does is consume mushrooms, so he's just
what do you expect him to say?
Could you imagine it, like,
everyone else speaks?
Can you imagine if they did like a proper X-rated After Dark Mario where they just went, yeah, all these little clues in the previous games have just been because he's got some serious problems and we've just been taking the piss for 30 years.
Seriously, like, is Luigi's his brother, and you can see he's his brother. But it's like, is he also his carer?
Zelda spoke to Link in Breath of the Wild, and he just stood there just going, look, you should get this by now. I just don't talk.
But Link might be a mute. He may not be able to speak. Mario might be. Does speak.
He does sort of speak, Link. At least, like, well, if you put Breath of the Wild, like, obviously it's mute in some way because you come up and you are given options for reply, and he does sort of, you know, with his hands as if he's speaking, but just doesn't actually speak. So, it's weird.
Here's one that I think certainly you guys will get. I don't know the exact demographic, but I kind of think of Mario, right? I might regret saying this.
I'm worrying for you.
No, it's fine.
In the shower?
You've all seen Little Britain, and whether you're fans or not of it, you'll be aware of characters within Little Britain. Mm-hmm. I kind of think Mario is Anne.
All right, yeah. Okay.
And Luigi is... Or I don't know, just...
If Mario speaks in a game, you'll find it weird.
But he does speak!
He does speak like Anne.
He literally
as well.
Says, "It's me, Mario." That's the most he speaks.
That's all we need.
Like, I'm not against it. I'm not like here saying Mario should speak in Super Mario Odyssey 2. I want full Mario dialogue every time. I want him having, you know,
he said,
"You're like a Mass Effect dialogue wheel from Mario."
Yeah. Oh well now you've said it.
In Luigi's Mansion 3, he said night night.
Yeah, and that was weird. Because he never says anything else. Night, night. What did you
so
just say?
Good.
But that again feels like Nintendo going, see, you don't want him to. But like, again, Luigi, he speaks. Princess Peach speaks. Bowser, who, by the way, is a dinosaur, speaks. Has children. Maybe. We never see his missus, but he's got kids. Did he adopt them? Is there a surrogate mother? Like, I actually want them in one game where they feel they can sort of let loose.
It's like a Jerry Springer.
Kind of.
Like, answer all the questions that you've got.
Like the end of Odyssey, for example.
Yeah.
I remember, again, I think I mentioned this the other week, I remember reviewing that and playing it pre-release, and that ending where he and Bowser interact and Princess Peach kind of is like, you know, walks off.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of the biggest, for me, bits of new Mario lore in a long, long time, because it's like, and it's the same with this Paper Mario, which I know they're not kind of canonical, whatever that means. But, like, I left this game wondering, like, are Mario and Bowser actually kind of pals? Like Batman needs Joker. And Princess Peach isn't interested in anybody.
I'm perhaps overthinking it, Adam. No, but you definitely are. But it's funny you've gotten me going, though. But, like, it's funny you say that, though, because, like, do Mario and Bowser need each other? Because there is a kind of a similar... There is a slight nod to that at the start of Origami. So,
I'm not going to spoil it. Just you wait. That's not the last you're seeing of Mr. Bowser.
Well, look. And
Mario's the least interesting person in this game. Because he doesn't speak.
Yeah. I feel like Mario needs to be like Silent Bob. Just eventually just comes out with a fucking tirade at some point.
He just gets the job done.
Yes.
He does just get the job done. I'll just fucking do it. No, I know the story. She's after getting kidnapped or something.
He definitely doesn't say, I'll just fucking do it.
Yeah. here we fucking go again. He'd be like, what?
But look, do you know what I would like to see is make Mario another RPG game fully voiced, and Princess Peach gets kidnapped, and he just loses his shit with like, why can you not fucking stop it every time?
Lock the fucking door. Do you know what I mean?
Or just tell him go away. No. It seems like it would work.
No means no.
Oh, Chris, you had to take it there.
Paper Mario, the Origami King, is a game that people should not sleep on. I think it's definitely a worthy contender for whatever category you put into your Game of the Year lists. It's a great Switch title, another great Switch banger, and I can't wait to
just need a couple more now. We just need a couple more.
We do need a couple more. Jesus,
just need a couple more. Yeah, it must be soon. Must be soon. Anything else you've been playing?
That's all.
That's plenty, to be fair.
It is. And I still have a lot more to go on board.
Yeah, absolutely. Gary, welcome back. I know I said that already, but what do you want to talk about, mate? What have you been playing? I know you've been playing a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious one would be like Project Cars 3.
A racing game!
So, yeah, I know you just...
I don't want to pigeonhole him, but it's like, it just so happens.
But no, I mean, that was a game that I did, like, I was looking forward to anyway, but after playing it, I was just blown away.
Can we talk about how weird it is, though? Not the game itself, but the situation with the game. Because Codemasters bought slightly mad studios.
Yep.
And Codemasters kind of come under the Do we agree it was Koch Media or Koch Media? How do we ever?
I think it's Koch Media.
It's Koch.
I think it's German, isn't it? So it's.
It's definitely Koch. I've just spilled a whole glass of water on myself. at least it wasn't on my keyboard.
yeah, the sound was.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell! You're not going to stop though. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put it into speaker view for those watching on video. Go and get a towel. Try not to look quite as embarrassed in the face. Fill my glass up, and Gary's going to talk about Project Cars, and you're all going to continue to talk about him. And this, I promise, this is not a stunt to get people to watch the video version. I'll be right back. Please continue talking, folks.
Project Cars, guys. Yeah, tell us all about it.
How do you follow that?
I know, yeah.
Just to sort of go on what Adam was saying, it's weird because Bandai Namco is publishing it. But Codemasters own Slightly Mad Studios, and like Codemasters, obviously, like big publisher, and it's just weird. It's like, you know, that they bought them after they were already making it, so it wasn't a thing. But it just sounds weird because it's the same with that new Fast and Furious game, like because that's another one that is made by Slightly Mad Studios, and again, it's published by Bandai Namco, and it's just like, but why is it not published by Codemasters? but I mean, that's a weird aside for no reason, but yeah, Project Cars. So the other two games were good, but they're very sim in that, like, the biggest problem with them is that when you play them with a controller, they weren't that great.
Okay.
I mean, like, I learned to deal with, like, a lot of it was you spend time before you play finding a good, like, set up online, like, cause you've got loads of bars that you can, like, basically mess around with to make the steering however you want it. And that is how you kind of had to do the other two games to get them properly playable with a controller. But even then, it was still a bit too twitchy. Whereas this one, from the very start, they were like, this is going to be a controller game, and you can also play it with a steering wheel, and you'll still get the same great steering wheel gameplay, but you'll also be able to play it proper with a controller, and it really does feel like a completely different game.
Can I just quickly jump in for 2 seconds there, right? And this is my pure ignorance towards these types of games, right? Where does Project Cars sit in the quality or depth to say, like, something like Gran Turismo or Forza Motorsport, or is it kind of a mixture of those two and Horizon? Like is this like a very deep car simulator
cars.
Game?
Yes.
Cars.
He's back.
No, I was never gone. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the depth of, like, Gran Turismo and Forza and all that, but the only thing it kind of had, like, the career mode would basically be you'd pick kind of where you'd start. You could start in, like, go-karts, if you wanted, or you could start in, like, Ginettas, which would kind of lead you into stuff like touring cars or GT racing, or you could have gone for, like, open wheels that end up with, like, they didn't have Formula One, but that kind of style was, like, the end goal. But it was kind of, that was it. There wasn't really any style to it, anything beyond that. And it was great, you know, you could play it to your heart's content, and it wasn't a punishing game. It wasn't like you have to finish in the top three to, you know, progress. It was just like, if you don't finish in the top three, it doesn't matter. You'll still have the next race in the season, and et cetera, et cetera. The same as if you were playing a football game. You know, if you lose a game, you still go to the next game, and you can still win the league and that kind of thing. Whereas this one, they've gone back, because these guys made Need for Speed Shift, and they've kind of gone back to that. So this does have, like, a proper career or, like, campaign mode, where you start off by, you buy your own vehicle, and you just do races with it if you want, or you can start upgrading it straight away. You can take that quite far by continuously upgrading it, to the point where you could take a shitty little Civic, not shitting on Civics, but, you know, when you compare it to
Civic,
like, top notch. It's like,
it's,
you compare it to, like,
top notch. This week's sponsor, Honda. Is it less, like, Apologies if you guys have, like, if I'm not going to edit this in any way because we are raw.
You made a
powerful
shit of yourself, so you better not.
No, I wouldn't. You know, if there's one person I can guarantee you that would not try and hide looking a complete prick, it's me. The thing, cause, and again, just cut me off if you've mentioned this, but the thing about, like, I remember previewing, I think definitely the first one, I can't remember the second one, and I liked them, but the problem I found they had is that they were very much, so Gaz, you know, and we're both big fans of racing games, but big fans of Forza Horizon series of games.
Yeah.
And I've always found the motorsport games, they're for someone on another level for my appreciation of racing games.
Yeah.
And I found the kind who like smell of their own farts, but take it a bit, you know, they're really like, you know, come on, you know, that kind of, they really like that smell. That's going to alienate an awful lot of people.
I was going to say, wow, well, your brain.
probably should edit that. No, but like,
it's people that like certain things from their races. Because I think for me, I'm actually quite interested in this game. I think it's more that people who want a simulation, I think, is more the thing. I'm more interested.
No, but it goes beyond that. That's what I'm saying. Like, for me, like, Forza 8? 7? 8.
Seven. What's the most recent? 7.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that definitely. But the motorsport games, the last few, in fact, and the Project Cars ones are so serious.
Yeah,
like, they're like they're always clinical, aren't they? In
they're clinical. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm sure it was 7. If not, it was 6. It was like all the white space and the, you know, it's very much the boxes, the white space of the menus and real, you know, and racing should be fun. Like, yes, it should be a simulation.
Yeah,
but it goes to that thing we talked about a few weeks ago where, like, sports games, some of them have gone too simulation-based, and that you if you want that in racing, you have the, like, the Assetto Corsas.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, that it exists. The equivalency is Microsoft Flight Simulator. Do you know what I mean? You have that.
Yeah.
I want... Need for Speed Shift, you mentioning that in the preview, instantly... I was like, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
Is this A, fun? And is it B, mega serious again? Or is it like... Because you can have a fun simulation,
this,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, this basically kind of is on in like right in the middle. So you've got... I mean, if you play, like, turn off all the assists and stuff like that, you are going to get, a struggle handling some of these cars. And that's the way it should be.
That's fine.
But, like, if you turn on the assist and you just want, you know, you just want to sit and play and have a laugh, you know, just mess about, you can do that too. It feels more, for lack of a better word, controllable.
Give us a comparison then. Like, not Shift, because that was a modern...
No, I would...
What does this feel like to play?
I would say it's somewhere around the sort of the Forza Motorsport / Horizon and F1, that kind of thing. So it's like there's realism.
Okay, so it's more on the... Yeah.
Yeah, it's still... There's a sort of arcadeness to some of it in the way the racing... Because you don't have any... You're practicing qualifying or anything like that in this one. It is literally just, here's... You go in your race, see if you can win.
So you know, and I discussed this around the preview, and now I understand this is going to piss people off.
Mm-hmm.
Although saying that, I've never known a racing series that pisses people off as much as this one.
Basically,
I remember Project Cars 2 people being angry and like...
Yeah, it's crazy because they want, like, the full track day experience, so they want
to go... But that does
exist
elsewhere.
They could just go back and play Project Cars 2 and they've got it. You know, because this has got a lot of the same tracks, that kind of thing, and... A lot of the same cars, or like car classes, I should say, because there's newer cars in this one.
Yeah.
So if they want to do it, they can. They can go back, they can play it and, you know, do all the practicing and qualifying and all that they want.
Aren't Slightly Mad doing what you hope every developer does? In that, like, the thing people always complain about with FIFA is the same as last year's FIFA. You know, aren't they doing the exact thing you would hope a developer does? Like, we talked about the Forza thing before as well. Like, where do they go next with Horizon? Do they just do that again? Where do they?
Yeah.
What's Motorsport going to be when we don't even know if that's a launch, whatever that is?
Yeah.
Aren't Project Cars, aren't Slightly Mad doing what you would, as a fan of the genre, hope someone going, well, we've done that and we can do that, but we want to do this now?
Yeah, because I don't think, like, people can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think either of the Project Cars games did extremely well, like, sales-wise.
It's one of those, it's very difficult to know.
Yeah, because I mean, it's. I think they were kind of, because they're quite niche, because they are very much for simulation fans.
And it's fair to say that they were also both coming out around, because I think we were in the middle of a massive racing game boom. Yeah. Like, I've never known so many racing games. These weren't, especially the first one, they weren't quite, it was Gran Turismo, it was Forza, it was, and that was, not yeah, it, because there's always been WRC, there's always been TT, yeah. You know, but you know what I mean?
Now there's so many.
Yeah. I know lots of people that bought Project Cars. I also know a lot of people that stopped playing Project Cars very quickly after buying it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's probably, I mean, that's anecdotal, but I can
understand that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, G Town Steve, you know, from Discord, he's like we've played a little bit of Forza together. Forza 7.
It's like Donald Trump. Sorry. Another reason to watch the video version is Adam now drinks like Donald Trump.
Is that how Donald Trump drinks?
Yeah, he can't. Yeah. The whole thing about he can't drink with one hand. He has to drink with two hands.
Sorry, Gaz. I just...
Sorry.
More than anything, professionalism. It's really hot and I've got very little left now. I forgot to do the refill thing. So sorry. Go on, Gaz. Sorry, Gary.
But yeah, like we played Forza Motorsport 7 a little bit online. And when... I think Project Cars 2 was free at some point on Xbox or PlayStation, one of the two anyway. He was asking me what it was like, because I sort of told him how it was, but was like, give it a go because you might like it. But he was kind of off that thing of it's very twitchy. It was a bit of a struggle to control. He just didn't get on with it, which was fair enough. And I think that's what a lot of people did. Like, because the majority, I think, would you'd probably agree, is they play a racing game, they're playing it with a controller. You know, it's not everyone plays with a wheel. Yeah. Like the super hardcore, definitely they have like the wheel set up and everything.
I've never got on with wheels, and I have tried.
Yeah,
I have tried, and I do drive.
Yeah.
I can't. Do you know the closest I ever got to it? Do you remember the 360? Microsoft
the speed quite wheel.
Released a wireless.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really
way
better.
That was way better than it got credit
massively.
For. I thought it was great.
I had a 360 wheel. I've still got it. I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere in this room, hidden under boxes. And the feedback was like violent.
Yeah.
And I've driven cars. I've not driven cars at high speed, really. But I've never. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I gather a lot of that is fairly realistic from the people that have, you know, that have driven like Le Mans.
But if
that
you've
kind
never
thing,
experienced it in real life.
Yeah, you
How
don't know.
You...
Yeah, you're not going to be able to
sense.
Say that bit of snap of steering is that means that your rear wheels are going. You know that
I mean,
kind
I really
of thing.
Found it's like, violent. It was like fucking hell. Like you know, really
whereas
back, and this is cool, but
I mean, like because I use my Xbox One controller with Project Cars when playing, it, and like playing it was like you can tell, you can feel the trigger going, you know, the rumble in the trigger, and it's like, right, okay, I need to let off the accelerator because my rear wheels are starting to come out, that kind of thing. Same with F1. Like, F1's really good for it, actually. You can really feel.
Does that stuff work on PC as well, then? Because I kind of assumed it was Xbox.
I mean, it does, but it's less. Because it's like, it's more of just a standard rumble, but you can still feel it through the triggers, if that makes sense.
Talking racing games, right? I've got a question for you. Though. I've been thinking about this a while recently, right? Because I genuinely think there are, and again, I really do feel like we are in a massive boom, and it's brilliant because it means you've got lots of choice. So with sports like FIFA has like you know your beer pro or your clubs mode, like Chris, I nearly called you Chris Hyde. I don't need you. You're only Chris here. Chris, you know, I know you've played a lot of that, and I have over the years. And that's a great mode for you to get together with your mates and you like literally create your team. And I noticed similar features starting to pop up in racing games. Like GT Sport, I think, I'm pretty sure had that, something similar. Obviously not clubs mode, but no, I think it was club. Drive club, of course it was drive club.
Mm. Yeah.
What would be your go-to for if you and a couple of pals or like the four of us were to play a racer kind of together? And the sort of addendum, why would it be that?
I mean, for that, I think it'd be Horizon 4.
Because of the raids or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, well, also, to be fair, any of the Horizon games, but mainly 3 or 4, because they're just fun to drive. You know, you're just driving around and you just get into various races and you are, I forget on 3, but 4, it's like if you race with your friends, you can do it as just like a co-op race as well. So it, if... if you like one of you wins and the others are like at the back, it just sort of brings all the points together and you can still have won like the entire race sort of thing.
We should do this sometime. Like Burnout Paradise, was that not on like some one of the free servers, you know, the one games with gold, or was that not like the remastered version on Game Pass or something?
I genuinely
PlayStation
can't
Plus?
It must have been.
But like, yeah, I mean, the thing is, whenever we talk racing games, man, the only thing that comes to mind is how much I would give for a Blur 2. So
the amount of nights me and my friends spent on GT5, just shuffle racing, just constantly smashing the heck out of each other, going around Daytona, not racing line, not giving each other space, just. You know, there are no rules. If you get over the line first, then you win. And it's just so much fun. Yeah. And when they took all that...
Derby. Sorry.
Well, yeah, that kind of thing. When they took that out of GT6, I was like, nah, I'm done. I really hope it comes back in GT7, because that's my... I've got a lot of friends that play PlayStation. So
right.
If I could do that, then I'd be up for that kind of, thing.
With racing, I have the same... With racing games, I have the same problem I have with fighting games now, in that... They're not so much now, but for a long time there were quite a lot of fighting games come out, and it's like you need to kind of pick one, get good at it, get a some cars or some fighters you're good with, and then so like with Tekken 7, no doubt that is a phenomenal game, but I was playing Street Fighter and I was playing Dragon Ball FighterZ, and every time I think about a racing, I was literally thinking as you were talking about racing games, like, I might download GT Sport, which, by the way, I think is like 100 gig now. It's massive. Yeah.
It's I think that's now the biggest game on my hard drive.
It's got like that and Modern Warfare are fighting for the space. But like,
it's a huge game.
with racing games now, it's like, which one do you? I don't know.
It's a tough one.
Mario Kart, yeah.
But that's because there is kind of, the racing genre. I think is at least one of the ones with the most variety. Because you've got Mario Kart, and then you've got stuff like, say, Assetto Corsa, if you want like the super serious stuff. You've got stuff like Grid, if you want to play something a little bit more arcadey. Although, on that note, I would love a new Project Gotham.
Mentioned that the other week, and it's like, before the Xbox stream, it's like, imagine if they did that, and they put Geometry Wars 4 in there. That's just
that's. I mean, that's. I think that's. Project Gotham is a series that's just dead now, I think. Because
it's gone, yeah.
Because of Forza Horizon, that's the one that's basically killed any chance of Project Gotham coming back.
No, it's gone.
I keep stopping myself from saying Project Cars now. I'm trying to say Project Gotham.
Have you, and I'll let you finish again for the video, I'll let you finish your swig before I answer the last question. Anything else you've been playing?
Carrion.
To speak about? Carrion, yeah. I need to get back to that.
I did carry on playing Carrion.
Oh, nicely done.
Because I mean, I obviously reviewed it on PC, and I loved it to the point that I went back and downloaded it on Game Pass to play it again, because I decided now I'm very close to 100,000 G, and I thought,
all right,
okay, I'm going to try and hit 100,000 before the Series X comes out. No particular reason, just because I want to hit 100,000.
To
the point that I actually got 1,000 on Carrion.
Is it an easy game to do, or is that because you'd already fit?
No, I mean, like, most of the achievements are for just finishing the game.
Like to go back, but I kind of want to get... This is so sad. I kind of want to go and play on the Windows... I'll get to this, but Windows Store, as much as everyone says it's shit... The cross-play and compatibility that Windows Store now has with Game Pass games and Xbox One is making me lean towards when I can play a game. If it's on Steam and it's Windows and it's got a Game Pass or whatever, or it's cross, I go Windows Store because it's cross-save, apart from anything.
That's a really good feature. One that seems not underused, but... underappreciated, I suppose.
I remember it blowing my mind when ReCore came out, because I think that was one of the first games where you could actually put your controller down on an Xbox, go over to your PC, and we did a video on it actually, somewhere still on the channel, and you just literally pick up the controller and it's like, oh, I'm playing that same save on the PC. It's still a cool thing, and I wish everyone did it. Like Obsidian's Outer Worlds, I was quite enjoying, and I was playing it pre-release, and I got like 5-6 hours in, and then it came out, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go play it on the PC, and it didn't have that.
Oh.
And it's like, but I can't go back, having played that on PC where it's smooth as, but I can't,
Yeah.
Carry On's definitely smooth. Carry On?
Yeah. I call it carrion, I think, because I think it's like...
I think it's carrion, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I loved it. It's just so much fun.
I'm mad to play it.
And yeah, it's because it's just, you know, there aren't really any games where you play the monster. Like, I'm sure, I mean, I know you've got stuff like Friday the 13th and that where you can play sort of the
yeah, but they're multiplayer games. It's a different...
But yeah, that's it. Like, I can't think of anywhere it's a single player game where you actually play as the monster and do...
I got monster. One that comes to mind.
Go on.
But it could be a slight spoiler. Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, you're definitely not a good guy in that, I don't think.
No, that's yeah, that's Last
of
a
Us
good point.
Two, you're not really playing a you're playing a bit of a monster, aren't you?
Yeah.
Go watch our spoiler cast for more.
Much better game than I expected, just to be fair. Mm.
Yeah.
Don't upset anyone.
No,
not here.
No. Now honestly, like I don't get the hate for that game. Like, I've heard like so many people like complaining about it, but I.
Let's get back to carrion, right? Question about that.
Yeah.
I don't recall if you mentioned it in the review, so apologies if you did. It was just something Mick said to me yesterday, or Mick Fraser, and he's like, he said, "I really wish this game had a map." And the reason it hasn't got a map is because you're a monster and you wouldn't have a map.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I would play. I think I'd have finished it if it had a map. Because I quickly realised.
I think it was one of the negatives I gave for it.
Yeah,
it was
sure.
Like,
yeah,
that was one of the things. Like when I was like, I'm going to do the 1000G, and it's like right, because you've got to get like I don't know if you remember when you get like your abilities, you get them from like the canisters. You know, like, you smash open a canister.
Some of that early stuff's fairly confusing.
Yeah.
Like going into the hole things and stuff. Like, I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah, because I mean it's. There's a lot of, because it's. I think it must be. You are a monster. Like you just figure it out. You know, we're not going to tell you because you're going to. It does kind of make sense. Like by the end, you're like, right, okay, that's why you weren't telling me because of this. Okay. But
that makes me want to play it more. That there is actually a narrative, so to speak.
Yeah, because I mean, it's nice because the bit where. Like, I don't know if you got to it, where you go into the machine and it shows you like from a human perspective.
Yes, yeah, that.
Yeah, that's
really
the flashback.
Really weird because like controlling them is bad.
Oh, it's awkward. Yeah, it's very awkward. But it's fun later. Just
okay.
As a teaser.
Again, that's it's not long, is it? Like
no, because I think for me, even getting 1000G. Yeah, I mean, I think it was probably 8 to 10 hours to get the 1000G.
Obviously, that sounds great. That sounds really great.
Yeah, because like I say, most of them are just forgetting, just going through the story, and then the others are for finding the extra canisters, which sort of just improve your abilities a bit.
And that sounds great. I think I'm down with that.
I think there's 9 of them, and you get an achievement for every 3, basically, that you find. And yeah, I mean, it's just so much fun. It's, you never get tired of just throwing humans around, and just, I mean, it's a bit grim because they do scream a lot.
When I first started playing it, I found it was like, ooh, the sound effect and what I'm doing, this is a little bit, I'm not sure. But you desensitize pretty quickly.
Yeah, because you really, I mean, the sort of the 2D pixelated visuals quickly sort of go, they're just, because it looks a a bit like Flashback.
They made a game called Butcher, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's quite good.
That was a very good game. I think I reviewed
Butcher.
That.
You might have done. I can't remember. I think I played it on Switch. I don't know where I've played it. I played a bit of Butcher and I was like, this is all right.
Yeah, because it was like Quake, but like side-scrolling Quake.
Yeah, and like properly hardcore, manic. And like, I didn't realise that when I started playing Carrion and I read it somewhere. I was like, oh, wow, they've got a style about this. Developer has an aesthetic they like to, you know.
It reminded me, I think I said it in the review as well, like there was a bit of the Arkham about it as well, because you're like, sometimes you've got to kind of use stealth a little bit with certain enemies, and it's great when you're in like a vent above and you've got like a couple of enemies around and you just snatch one up, you know, just drag them into the vent screaming, and his mate's just like, what the fuck?
I'm a bit surprised Adam hasn't played this.
Yeah, I know. It's there. Look.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Game Pass, isn't it? You've got an Xbox now, so you can play it.
Yeah.
You should play it.
I think you'd really enjoy it. There's lots of, like, the thing in there as well.
you genuinely I was sort of like, it's one of those where I was wondering, will I get back to this? Will I get back to this? And like everything you're saying is like, oh, it has got a story. It goes somewhere. Oh, yeah. It does this. It does that. Okay, this sounds quite smart. And yeah, I have unfortunate other gaming addictions currently that are precluding me.
I mean, it's only real downside for me is what you mentioned. It's just the map. Because there are times when you're just like, where am I going? If I knew, you know, you have to go to a certain place, but you're like, I can't remember where that was. And you can't just go, right, press the map button. You know, it's just, it's a little bit awkward, but you do kind of get around fast. So you do make your way around pretty quickly to wherever you were trying to find. Good, very good game. Very good game.
Well, let's move to Chris Hyde then. Because basically everything I've played, he's also played. We've basically spent a week playing games in co-op. Yeah, co-op.
Co-op in definition, not always in execution. I'm onto that.
Or will we now?
Well, it depends if you're going to let me talk or you're going to talk.
I thought you were going to say it depends if you spill another glass of water on yourself. go for Chris. What have you been up to?
Okay, so one of the games I've been playing with the fine Adam Cook is Grounded. Which is Honey, I Shrunk the Kids from Obsidian. It's in preview at the moment. So
Game Pass again.
Game Pass, available for everybody. Up to 4 players. There are 4 of us here, just saying. You know, it could be something we could all play and all enjoy.
I would be up for playing
I'd be really up for it. I'm not even joking. I think it'd be a cracking game with 4 players. So there's 4 kids who have been shrunk for reasons at the moment unknown. Because the story is very much it's a preview build. There's not a lot revealed in terms
surprised.
Of the story.
I mean, you can watch the whole playthrough.
Yeah,
on our YouTube channel.
We faffed for a little bit, and the story lasted less than an hour until we're like,
and that
right,
was with us mucking. We were being.
I was
a bit
surprised
dumb.
At that. When, like watching it, and you got to the point. It's like this is where the story's like done for now. I was like, where?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Kind of gutted though, and that's a good sign.
It's a very good
kind
sign.
Of like, oh, I really was, kind of gutted.
There's a lot to it. A lot to like the crafting, and I think there'll be a lot more to that side of it. And I know Lyle on the site's been playing it for hours and hours and hours.
Well, base
and
building,
really,
we didn't
just
really
base building.
Touch.
We could have done loads on that. And I think if there's more people, I think you could get more into that and build a spider fortress to kill those grimy bastards, because they are like, we need to spend a little bit of time on that. I know I'm jumping around, but Christ, the spiders in this game. I do not have arachnophobia.
Okay.
I learnt that maybe the person that I was playing with afterwards maybe has a twinge
of it. Did
you play
with someone else? Did you?
I did play with someone else. Later. Okay. No, I played with. Well, should we talk about you and me playing together? Actually, should we get into it?
We can, or we could just say go and watch the video.
We could say go and watch the video. Within seconds, you see that we're not actually friends, and Adam actually hates me.
I was horrified of what I found you doing upon playing this game. That's quite charming and pretty and sweet. You immediately started, and I want to say battering the shit out of an ant who was not bothering you. Well, he was.
It really was just like, hey, look, an ant.
And I was just really like, oh wow. I mean, I was thinking, is he doing this because we're streaming and it's entertaining, or is he actually a psychopath?
I mean, it's a bit of column A, a bit of column B. I was testing the controls, seeing what
by
you could
beating
do.
An ant. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Would you have done it if it was a dog, just out of interest? Just so we really know where you're standing these days?
Yeah, I've played The Last of Us 2. I'll kill anything. It's... But I mean,
I'll kill anything.
Adam Carroll, if your friend, someone that you like as a person, okay, they do something that might shock you a little bit, but you say it's a game. I'm still playing with them. Is your immediate retaliation to cause them physical harm by bricking them?
It was a pebble.
Only because you couldn't find a brick. It was the pebble the size of a brick.
To what you don't know is later on I did actually also get my spear and do that and think, oh, I could. No, I won't. And I did stop at that. I knew that I could revive you because I already had, because you were killed by an ant.
But why would you do this in the first place, Adam Cook?
Well, because he was beating an ant and I'm an animal. Animals are better than people. I'm just going to say it.
I would agree.
Animals are better than people.
Yeah.
Well, next time you can play co-op with an ant, and I'll play with Adam and Gary.
I fucking would if I could, because I tell you what, that would be the video that pushed us over the edge.
Yeah, that's a stream and a half.
Games
and Alan the ant. Yeah,
Alan the ant. They're always Alan.
Adam and the ants, surely.
Oh Jesus Christ! It should be, shouldn't it?
There we go.
And I didn't even. It doesn't matter. But like the spiders are scary because they are designed a different way. Like the rest of the animals and insects are kind of just what you'd expect, kind of in the same aesthetic. The spiders have glowing red eyes and are animated a lot more.
Well, no, this is the thing. All enemies, when they suddenly decide they don't like you, say if you punch them in the face for no apparent reason, they get the red glow in the eyes.
Okay,
that's what happens.
That.
The issue is the spiders don't give a fuck if you punch them anyway. They just go straight for the red eyes. So that's the thing, where spiders will always attack you, whereas like ants and other beetles and stuff will just carry on with their day.
Yeah.
But if you attack them, they get the red eye and they go for you.
But the size of them also means that they are, I think they've been like extra animated. There was a bit after I think we both died to spiders where I sort of was walking around behind one and I caught a glimpse in sort of the top, as people are watching the screen, if they're watching on YouTube, like the kind of the top left of the screen, the sun shone and you could see the kind of creeping leg in the shadow. Yeah. And it's like, that is very deliberate, you know.
But like, I was surprised when it was during that bit when you kind of decided to attack them. To be fair, I did kind of push you into it.
Yeah.
And it's when you climbed up like the tree a little bit and it fucking just jumped up behind you.
Yeah.
Turn, it's like, it's just leapt on. And it's like, that is fucking terrifying.
Yeah. I don't think even if you don't mind spiders, like you say, Chris, you're not arachnophobic, but they're horrible. It's awful.
I screamed in the stream, like when I saw one, like at the second half of the stream, whenever I saw one, I was like, holy crap, I'm just running away. So it's, yeah, I'm not scared of spiders, but I don't want to be anywhere near those mothers like at all during this game. So that's, in that sense, really well done. If you think about it as a survival game, it's like, right,
yeah,
we need to prepare now because these things can. And I've seen videos of them like literally attacking the central base where you feel quite safe, where you don't normally encounter them. Yeah, the little plastic glass box thing.
Adam no longer wants to play this game.
Like, I imagine people have had to draw them towards it, whatever. But I guess the point is, you're going to have to in the main game, really think about defense rather than just going on missions and fetch quests and stuff like that. So I'm really up for this game, though. I think it's going to be something that could be really fun with a few people.
Do you think the PV program's helped or harmed it? Because it's helped in that I'm more interested than I was, but also, like, I'm not going to... I probably, unless we decide we're going to play it one day, won't touch this now until I would say it's finished, because I don't want them to add like another 45 minutes of story and play through it episodically. It feels like a demo, because I wonder how much bigger the world is.
Yeah, that's the thing for me, and that's, I think, right? I said it on the stream. It feels small, so I wonder what they're going to make you do that creates the variety in the game.
I'd say teleporting is going to be a thing, because the way the sciencey nature of it, I would say
it could be, and I don't know how much depth there is to things.
Right,
you could have gone down a lot further than we did.
It feels to me like there should be some sort of upgrading for your character rather than equipping armor. I feel like those science points that you get should be actually able to upgrade your strength. I feel like that, I don't know, maybe I just like that in games, but I feel like it maybe needs, not everyone's going to want to like craft this armor and this armor and these shoes and this hat to make your, I feel like I would rather just be able to like spend my points to upgrade my armor. I don't think that's going to happen personally, but I'd like it. But
I mean, I think personally for me, I'm in the same place as you a little bit, that I want to see where it's going and what it is before, you know, I decide to play it. And I'd want to play it with other people. This isn't a game I'm going to want to play on my own.
No. Did you get the feeling that it's a long way off?
I got the feeling this is a long, long, long way off. Like,
yeah,
if this
like
was
2 years, maybe.
Yeah, this is 2022. And because I think the reason for that is because the big hoo-ha for what essentially could be done in half an hour to play from a story is like that, and that's it. And I'm like, whoa, okay.
It's a tutorial.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's piqued a lot of people's interest.
The mystery is there, definitely. It's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
If you're a certain age, the game appeals straight away.
I literally watched that movie the other night. For the, there you like, go. Not for any reason. I just think it's so weird that you're playing that game. And I watched it many times.
Do they hit each other with rocks in the head in that film?
Yeah. What else have you been playing, mate? So Grounded. I mean, I know, but the audience don't.
So I've been playing a game called Deep Rock Galactic, which is
kind of a generic bad name.
Very, very, very. When I think about
how good it is.
Yeah, I've not really thought about how bad that name is, but yeah, it's
That one with like space dwarves or something?
That's the one.
It's basically space dwarves is it's basically dwarves against bugs with mining, which
But the thing selling it, like the thing is that Gaz knows the name of the game, and it's isn't that the Space Dwarves game? That's so like that is the not even anywhere near the best part of that game. The fact that they're dwarves, it's kind of it's some one-liners.
Yeah,
but
yeah, so essentially, this game is it's kind of like if Astroneer and Destiny had a baby and they dialed up the attitude a little bit. It's not quite that, but that's the kind of thing. There's missions.
I'd go Minecraft and Destiny myself.
Okay, you've played more Minecraft than I have.
Yes, I forgot. Yes.
So yes, probably. But yeah, absolutely. So there's missions where you're dwarves and you go down and you've got basically you've got objectives to.
It's first person, by the way.
Yeah, first person co-op missions, and you might have to go and collect a certain amount of a certain material or complete certain objectives with certain items, and then normally have to escape back up to your kind of pod that you drilled down to in the first place, right? So you kind of do the mission and then escape back to safety is kind of the loop of a mission. In your way, not only is there a cavern that's pitch black, but there's also chock off bugs that want to eat your face, and you've got to use a combination of guns and drills to basically tear them a new one. So it's a little bit of
a combination I was expecting.
No, exactly. That's what I mean. It's like an excavation kind of like mining part, and then you turn around and you've got to shoot a load of bugs.
We're talking like also drilling one up. Hand, gun in another. Are they separate?
Yeah, it is. It's exactly that. Pretty much, like, right trigger is or left stick, left click is gun, and right mouse or left trigger is pickaxe.
You can try and attack with a pickaxe. Yeah,
you can actually upgrade your pickaxe to. I noticed there's an upgrade that when you hit with the left trigger or right mouse, if you press the opposite trigger, you actually can like hit harder. That's one of the upgrades, because this is like full on class based system. There are currencies from the game. You can upgrade. So like Chris, for example, if you were to describe the class you had been playing, what are your skills?
So I'm an engineer. So I've got a gun that creates platforms. So if there's like minerals up on the wall, I can create little platforms in the wall to jump up and get those minerals. Or if we need to get out of a hole quick, that helps us out there. I've also got sentry guns that I can plot down if things get a bit leery and there's loads of bugs. I could just drop a sentry gun and it shoots for us. And then my guns are a shotgun and a grenade launcher. So very much like high damage, but low rate of fire, I guess, is kind of.
And also either close or very far away.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Whereas my character, I've forgotten actually which one was it?
Thriller? Scouts.
So the scout's kind of special weapon is like, so you can pickaxe through stuff, but the drill is like a two-handed drill that you can just plow through walls with. And that's on a cooldown, overheat sort of thing. And he also had, what's his other thing? I'm trying to think what it would be. So I've got like a flamethrower, which again, chews through them. But also, you're going to hurt your colleagues if you're not careful. Like, he's a bugger.
He does. Does not give a shit about where I'm standing. Just flamethrowers.
The thing is, right, and you started doing this towards the end, is I'm drilling through a wall and you run between the wall and my hands. And it's like,
His favourite thing, while we're on the subject of him killing me, his favourite thing is to call in an airdrop, which I don't know how it happens because we're underground, but you call in a supply drop and it just drops this massive metal canister onto the ground and you can refill like ammo and stuff. A bit like, just drops down and there's a little timer and it just drops down. His favourite game is to drop that on my head, instantly killing me. That's his favourite game.
Happened
and he keeps
once,
doing it.
And it. I'm sorry, no, I have to defend myself. The game visibly has a sort of holographic version of the drop thing where it's going to land. Like a glowing holographic glyph that says, it's going to land here. I don't feel that by me saying, I've called in a drop pod, and the game then showing the drop pod, I'm responsible for you running into a holographic glyph. And
I mean, what he negates to say is obviously at this time, this point, I'm on fire because he's just flame
well,
throwing,
a bit on
so
fire,
I can't
yeah.
see anything.
But so, again, you run into the. This game is amazing.
It's great.
This game's like absolutely amazing. And again, 4-player co-op and like desperate to try because of the classes. Like one of them has got like a grapple gun, and one of them is just a gunner with like a massive, great, you know, well, machine gun, I suppose. They've all got really and like every element of this feels fine-tuned. All the levels are procedural, and there's like different objective. Like you can go on and just the one where you have to collect X amount of. I forget it was malachite or something. One is like go on an egg hunt. There are all these types of missions. It's brilliant. It's been in early access, but it's out now on PC, Steam, Windows Store, and Xbox. And again, I bought it on Windows Store because it meant I can cross play with people on Xbox. It's brilliant. It's
so good. Cool. It's got that feeling of like I just want to play one more mission. All the time. Yeah, and we keep doing it. We go, have we got time for one more?
And we did
just one more.
But we did it anyway.
Yeah. So good, that game. It's just, it's really addictive. And it's got more depth than you think it has when you first start playing it. And then you go, oh, and we haven't even unlocked half the stuff. You can get promotions and stuff that we haven't even considered yet. We haven't
even
seen. Each
class players can be upgraded level-wise.
Yeah.
So like I've got a level 5, whatever we call it, driller. But I haven't touched the other classes. But we will talk about this game more in the weeks to come. Let's do some listener correspondence, Chris. I also, by the way, should say I started No Man's Sky again. But I'm not going to talk about it this week because I need to see if come a week's time I am still playing No Man's Sky again because it's really impressed me. But I don't know if it's hooked me to keep going back. Cause it's...
Did you go PC with that one?
Yes. Windows Store.
Nice. Well, again, I wasn't sure whether you were doing that or whether you were just going back.
No, it's
to,
on
like,
game. It's gone, it's on Game Pass, so it's like, again, both. Yeah, play it. It's massive, scarily big. We'll talk about it another week. Let's do a couple of listener correspondences and then we'll call it a podcast. So, ROTMM, Darren on Twitter says, Adam Carroll, should Xbox drop couch co-op in games like Halo and Gears? I had a brief conversation with Paul Roshinsky, formerly Evolution, about this, and he said it's needed as it's a Halo staple. I said it's a waste of dev resources and rendering budget in 2020. So Gears and Halo have all got like still split screen.
Yeah, basically. Difficult one really, because I don't actually personally know the percentage of people that are playing those types of games.
Like, but to give devil's advocate, they just announced Battletoads, whatever it's called, the new one, is coming August to Game Pass, and it's couch co-op. And I was like, and it's not. And it's like in 2020, in the middle of a pandemic, you decided to put this game out now, or as good as, and not just go, we'll wait a couple of months or whatever it takes and we'll have online in it. I don't know many people who play 3-player co-op or split-screen.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a hard one. I don't think it's needed anymore, personally.
But are we going to get told off because we're not it's not accessibility, is it, if you can't?
I think it's brutal to can it, though. I take the point that it must be a low percentage rate of people that play those games... local multiplayer. I get that. I get the point that he's making. Absolutely. But I just feel like to say, nah, get rid of it all from those games. Is that feels too far, I feel. Mm. Like,
especially when you think of the Switch. You know, like, that has got couch co-op or just couch multiplayer. Like,
but that also
all
has
over
joy
it.
Controllers you can take off of it and play. And
can I just also throw in that, like, is it down to the type of game? Like,
yeah,
I know it's not to discredit the likes of Halo or Gears, but like, I can't really find the right words here, but how many people truly are going to sit down with all the games they can play a couch co-op and be like, Halo? Not to discredit something like that, but you know, like,
well, Fortnite's got it now as well, so it's kind of something that some people must want anyway. Although I will say that is a weird one. I've played Fortnite co-op, and I don't know if any of you have tried it. Split screen, I should say. But
I've seen it.
You've seen that for some reason they have a big portrait of your player on one side of the screen.
Yes.
So, which is just bizarre, because basically about 30% of your already diminished screen real estate is gone.
That will be about rendering and resolution and frame rate. Like, they obviously cannot have it any larger and keep the performance. I would guess.
Yeah,
it's a performance. It's to keep. I don't. This is. I'm kind of with Darren, but then I don't play split screen, so I feel like me saying that is a bit unfair. It's a really.
I think it should stay in certain games. It doesn't need to always be there.
But it depends how much it is in terms of resources.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not really much, then yeah, have it. Or if it's
it just seems something too much, then like with the advent of Xbox Live, with people playing games online all the time.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'd love to see the numbers. I would love to see the numbers that prove X amount of people play split screen. There must be enough if Microsoft and Co.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, I don't think it's one we can answer. Really, it's interesting, but without the numbers in front of us. Let's just do one more question then. Thomas wants to know, we'll go to you, Adam, again. What does the team think about the possible price of next-gen games? Are these placeholder prices likely, or will prices stabilise once the consoles are finally out in the wild? And this is, I guess, related to like 2K saying they're going to cost like $70, $80, whereas other devs like have now said, publishers, sorry, have said, like, no, it's still going to be $60.
For me here, it's €70, right?
Right, and that's like a premium The Last of Us 2.
No, that's just standard.
Yeah, like, but I mean, that's like for a full-price game. Yes, I should have said full-price game.
Judgment Edition. Yeah, so it is just that, you know. And, like, I think these games are expensive as balls. And, like...
But they haven't gone up for a long time.
They haven't, but there was a time there, like, during my time of working in GameStop for the first fucking... 5 years, 6 years, like games were an even just $50 straight up.
Okay.
50. And there's something about like 50 is still a lot, but it's just that one note that you're like, just going, there you go, €50, okay.
You're dealing in 50 notes.
Well, like, you know,
I haven't seen a £50 note in a long, long time.
It's making it rain.
Like, let's be honest here, it's still that paycheck I'm going through from The Last of Us praised, you know.
they delivered it in £50.
Just chiseling away through that, but no, like I just I would, if games go up. This is what I was saying actually tonight to a friend. If games do go up in price, even by a tenner, I will be definitely thinking about, like, because I'm pretty like, if a game comes out and I'm like, oh, I don't know, and if the reviews are pretty good, I'll be like, all right, I'll just buy it, and I'll just off I go. But then in my head, I'm like, sell £70, like, but whatever, let's see.
For me, it would
80,
be...
80 is just like, 80 or something.
A lot of money. But for me, it would be like in Sony's best interest to keep those prices down.
Yeah.
Because the prices going up just sends people to Game Pass. Because like that game showcase, literally every single game, Game Pass. Yeah. So for a tenner a month or whatever the subscription is, I think it's like $10.99 a month currently, isn't it?
Which,
you know, it's Netflix for games. They are pushing hard in that. And if the games go up in price, that's just going to make more people go...
Who out there in the world is going, do you know what? I really hope games go up in price. I think no one, but if it increases crunch,
because they're able to pay people properly for games that cost millions now, I think is the... But that's not an issue we can really speak to.
No. I mean, I'm an old man, right? So I always come back to this. I know
what
I'm not quite as... You're really old. You
geriatric,
are.
But, yeah, sure.
Yeah. But I always come back to the whole... In 1995, N64 games were £65, £70.
Yeah.
And they actually got cheaper. And now if they're talking about going back to that and they...
How old are you? Because that's your... My yardstick was going to be Spectrum takes for $2.99.
I mean, I'm like two and a half years younger than you, maybe three.
That's what I thought.
Right? I'm only talking about 1995.
Posh, so you weren't expected to buy your own games on Spectrum. Of course, they were just like... thrown at you like sweets.
Oh yeah, Jeeves went and got the Spectrum game, but I didn't do it. But yeah.
Jeeves.
So anyway, so I you know, I bought, you know, whoever the butler was at the time. They just appeared. I don't know.
You were like, always a games journo at heart. The freebies were just
exactly. Yeah, Turok 2, Donkey Kong.
You were one.
Donkey Kong 64. They were all £65, £70, right? And I just remember those games, and it's just. It doesn't bother me in that sense. There, I guess the difference now is there's more... It sounds like posh, Chris, doesn't it? Jesus Christ.
It really did, and I had to resist that one.
Yeah, but it's like, it's for me, it's like the difference now is there's more games. Whereas before,
way more.
That £65 or whatever was like for the one game that's coming out in the next 2 months. It's now like one of a million that are coming out in the next 3 days. That's
that is also a media issue. Like, I have right now, I have never in 10 years of doing this seen so many fucking games coming out. We don't cover some of them. We can't. Nobody could. No. Like, I don't remember the day. I reckon 5 codes minimum per day are in my inbox, which means 5 games are coming out either on that day or the few days from now, or have come out, or in a week's time, and that's every day. If you play PC games, for example, no, that's not even if you play any games, because like these games, these small games people have hardly heard of, appear on all these consoles now and Switch as well.
Do you know what absolutely
there's
needs
never
to,
been more choice
what needs to definitely stop, and I'm pointing the finger straight up at Sony here now, is going forward with PlayStation, is digital can't be the same price as physical. It just can't be. I don't see
Xbox do it too. Well, Xbox do it the other way, actually, don't they?
They just can't. It just doesn't. Like all this,
it's gotta stop.
It's kind of a different conversation, I guess. But you know, the whole pre-order incentives and stuff like that that you go for in digital, and play it at midnight and all this shit. Like, you know, it's just it's just crap. Like, it's still 70 quid. I'm like,
if I was in the business side of things, ads. Do you know what I'd do? I would. As a first party holder, I would put the price of a physical copy of a game up, and I would price the digital version lower, because that then pushes people properly into my ecosystem, because they go, well, I'm buying the download and it's there on my system.
That's exactly why
the game's 70 in the shop. Because you
still want to buy all my games physical. It's why I do it.
Paper Mario, I bet, was cheaper, you know, for you than it was for somebody who bought it digitally.
Yeah.
I guess
it needs to be the other way around.
The counterpoint is people see the convenience of digital and therefore will pay the same amount as someone for a physical. And so you're just throwing money away. Yeah. But let's not get into economics, because that's boring. But that's the reason why it feels backwards, because you're right. There's less cost, so it should be less. But
games should go back to being 50 quid, and they should also have good game manuals included again.
The manuals, yes.
Games, I believe, should go back to being $2.99 and all be on cassette tapes.
Treasure Island Disney.
And on that. I'd love a new Dizzy. It wouldn't work. No, they did make one.
They did a Kickstarter for it. It just died on its ass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. How sad. And on that note, let's finish the podcast. Thank you very much for being with us, everyone. If you do, if you found us for the first time randomly, we have a revolving door of people. Gary is here this week. Chris Hyde is here this week. It's usually myself and Adam are always here, because we're, you know, hardcore. Chris White, Mick, we've got loads of people that come on the podcast, but tell us that they're your favourites and we'll get them on next week. That's just me being hardcore, mate. Me being hardcore. I'm quite clear about the hardcore.
Dropping his water.
We also have a Patreon. Don't ruin the bit where I try and sell them our products.
Sorry.
Patreon.com/Scott is a Geek. You get this podcast early. You get a food podcast where we rank foods. You get videos early. We do code drops. One due very soon, actually. Going to sort that out probably the week you are watching or listening to this. We have a YouTube channel, which is just Scott is a Geek. Search Scott is a Geek and then follow it with, like, you know, Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, and you'll find a Twitch. We stream on Twitch. We streamed Grounded for an hour and a half on Twitch. We streamed to No Man's Sky. Do all that. We appreciate it. And for the old times, leave us a review on iTunes, if anyone uses iTunes anymore. But whatever. Can you review on Spotify? We're on Spotify. I don't know. Adam, Chris, and Gary. I nearly called you Gaz, but I like calling you Gary. Thank you for being here this week. We appreciate it. And thank you, listener, for listening or watching or however you consume this content. We love you for it. We will see you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye for now.